I'd like you to take your Bible. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 10 and following. I'd like to share for just a few moments tonight and just reinvigorate our hearts with a faith theme so you can roar back out into your week with an understanding of regardless of what situation you may be facing, you can do anything. Philippians 4, verse 10. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if we can, please. Philippians 4, 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last, this is Paul writing, your care for me has flourished again. Now remember, he is in prison under house arrest when he writes this. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you read those words with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Read it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 14, nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Paul is under house arrest. But you Philippians are also at the beginning of the gospel. When I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Paul's saying, I knew that as you were to give, you would in turn receive the blessing for your giving. Verse 18, indeed I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice while pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, take your word tonight, and I pray that you will minister to us as we here pause in the middle of this week and we get ourselves prepared for the days that are coming. Truly phenomenal transitional days. I pray, Lord, that you will somehow embed within each and every one of us, no matter where we are, no matter where we live, or what this week may hold yet for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will truly speak to us. Give us the assurance and the confidence that we need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all of God's people said a great big amen. You know, one of the things that has happened, and it's happened in a way so subtly we hardly recognized it was going on, and yet it did happen. And that was that, you know, in previous days where it seemed like language carried certain definitions for like hundreds and hundreds of years, we have watched in the last generation words suddenly take on wholly new definitions. And to the degree that much of what the generation following us think and say was not the words we grew up with. And there's words we use now that no longer mean what they meant. And it's like all of a sudden like, wow. And I'm going to use one term and you already know what term I'm going to use. I grew up in my younger years with the idea that the word gay meant joyful and happy. Right? Don't mean though so much now. And in fact, we used to use that term. Whenever that term comes to my mind, I always remember a song we used to sing. You still hear it sung some, but it sure don't mean now what it used to mean. You know, during the Christmas season, we, you know, deck the hall with boughs of holly, and now we don our gay apparel. And I don't think he's talking about Christians in drag there when he's referencing that. But words have so changed. Now you got to be so careful in what you say because things don't mean anymore what they used to mean. And somehow I feel like, and I don't even know how to say this, somehow I feel like there is a entire generation of people that when you start thinking about the very idea of God's power, that I'm not sure that it means the same to them the way I believe God wants it to mean to them and the way God wants it to mean to us. We have many of us. I've got a few whiskers maybe on me that some others may not, and some of you got more whiskers than I do. I mean, you're older than I am, or I'm older than you are, whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is that there is something has happened in this generation because much of our children and now even our grandchildren are educated in an environment that is largely anti-Christ and anti-God, unless they're in an environment that is particularly a Christian school or a very specific Christian kind of an environment. And so the things that many of us are like precious, some have never even really been in a part of any of that. And many of the people educating our young ones today almost are evangelistic in their attempt to destroy people's faith. And forgive me for saying it this way, but to take about as many people to hell as they possibly can. They want to destroy people's faith. And they don't want any thought or any idea of the power of God, of what God can do if he's just given the opportunity to do it. We serve a great and mighty God. And yet there's these, I don't know how to say it. I'm just going to put it away. It's just what's in my mind right this moment. But there's these arguments, these almost bubblegum arguments that are put out there by agnostic teachers and leaders that have systematically shipwrecked many, many young people's faith. That's one of the things we love to do when we have a few moments and the opportunity is upon us. We love to drive around and just kind of check out areas and just driving around sometimes. And maybe like us, just like a drive around and check stuff out. And sometimes we take off on a road for no good reason. We just want to see what's down that road. And sometimes it's really helpful, right? Because sometimes when roads are detoured, and when you learn where roads go, you can save lots of time going around stuff and figuring out where this is going to go and where that's going to go. And so, you know, it is kind of cool just to get out and check stuff out and look at various places and look at various things. Now, here we are, you and I, people who believe with everything that's in us in the power of God. And yet, many of our young people are in environments with people who are trying to shipwreck in the hearts of those that are dearest to us, everything about faith. And I'm thinking about a young man that for many, many, many years attended a church that we pastored. And not only did he attend there, but many evenings when I would be out driving a van myself, I would take him home. And he was really faithful. And I'll just tell you, he went to Ball State University. He got involved in some classes, and some professors there so shipwrecked him that he is so far from God now. He doesn't even want a memory of where he previously was. And I tell you what, his prof, I would love to meet him and lay hands on him suddenly. You know what I'm talking about? It really infuriates you to see this kind of thing happen. Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I'm setting you up. I've said all that to bring you to this point. I want everyone to hear this. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be careful how you answer. Because the very answer to this question is used by agnostic leaders to try to shipwreck people's faith in the power of God. Now, this first question is not a setup, okay? The next one is. First one is not a setup. How many of you believe that the God we serve is powerful? Well, we know, by definition, he's omnipotent, right? He is what? All power. He's omniscient. What? He knows all things. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. Right? Those are things we really... How many of you really, no matter what else, you have absolutely no doubt about those three things? That your God is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he is omniscient. Right? You believe those things. Now, these individuals are experts in putting a doubt where it should not be. Now, here's a question. Here's a setup question. Be careful how you answer this. How many of you believe God can do anything? If you were in a class and an agnostic teacher, leader, professor were to be standing before you, and as a believer, I've been in some of those environments, and sometimes you just want to keep your head down because they make an easy target. But let's just say you're in that kind of a situation. And all of a sudden, a prof were to say to you or to the class, is there anybody here in this room that believes God can do anything? Well, it'd be very, very hard. And I'm saying for myself, it would be very, very hard to not put your hand up and say, God can do anything. But many of these people have this real cute little retort. Okay, if you believe God can do anything, here's our question. Is God big enough to make a rock he can't lift? Is God big enough to make a rock he can't lift? Well, you can't answer that question. Because either answer is contrary to what you've already said. When you say God can do anything, can I tell you the answer to that question is not what you think? The answer to that question, can God do anything, is not what you think. Although they'll try to set you up by saying, oh yeah, I believe God can do anything. And then they say, well, can God make a rock you cannot lift? You can't answer that question. Because either way, you're going to get hung. But can I tell you, hear me tonight, stay with me. When I ask the question, can God do anything? It's so tempting to say yes. Because I'm a person of faith, God can do anything. But can I tell you a thing? There are things God cannot do. Now here, stay with me. This is very, very important. There are things God cannot do. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. God cannot go contrary to his will. He will not. Hello? He stands over his word to perform it. He will not fail to his word. Now, all of that is really, really important and really, really critical. Because here's the thing. Here we are, people of God. Here we are, people that are in so many contexts and in so many situations. We are believing with everything within us that our God can do anything. And the scripture clearly says that all things are possible to them who believe. But stay with me tonight. There's a part of this we've got to understand. We somehow have to understand the importance of God's will in all of the things that we may be facing and contexts and situations where we may find ourselves. Somehow, and I've heard people say this, and so have you, people will say things like, hello, it's almost a lack of faith to say, God, if it be your will. But I'd be the first one to tell you, I don't 100% of the time always know what is God's will in certain situations. And I was thinking, and I was actually praying this over someone this last weekend here at the altar. Because doesn't the book of James says that a certain businessman will go into a particular place and say, I'm going to conduct business and I will do this or that. But James says, should he not say, if the Lord wills? God can do anything except fail. And in our process of trusting God to do the miraculous, somehow we must submit all of that to this statement, if it be your will. There may be things we're not 100% sure about because we're human. We don't see the end from the beginning like God does. And would you give me your attention? Look right here. Cut yourself some slack on this. Cut yourself some slack on this. It is okay occasionally to say, God, I don't quite understand this. And God, I don't know. But God, I'm trusting you, the God that can work miraculously, signs, wonders, and miracles, and all things are possible to them who believe. But sometimes God's will may lead things differently than you and I would. How many of you have ever got to a later point in life where you were awfully glad God didn't do it the way you thought he should? Wave your hand at me if you know what I'm talking about. Every one of us have been there. How many of you have been guilty like I have been of sometimes telling God how you do it? Now, God, if you were me, may I suggest? Bullet point one, two, and we start laying it out. And then later on, farther down the road, we think, oh my God, I thank God you didn't follow bullet points here. Because I did not see the full play out of this the way I should. And God, I believe in your power. But I also believe, God, in your ability to hold steady. For maybe there are some other things that need to go on here. Maybe there's some other things that somehow need to happen. And God, give me somehow the ability and the faith to hold steady in the midst of all this. Because God, I don't fully understand it. God will not fail. God is not going to somehow violate his own will. He's not going to go contrary to what he's told us in the Holy Scriptures. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for your family. He's got a plan for this congregation. He's got a plan for this world. Hello. And everything is ultimately going to play out according to his own good will. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of that timing, there may be some stuff that's going to go on where we have to just step back and say, but God, you know, if it's your will, I don't fully maybe see how this is all going to fit together. But God, I'm willing to somehow place. You know, we often pray, Nance and I, in our times as we go before the Lord, we often say things like this, God, even if you don't do it the way I think it ought to be done, it's okay. If it's according to your plan, if it's according to your will. Because ultimately, if we can submit our will to his will, I will tell you something. One of the things that really encourages me as a believer is even our own Lord in the garden. Our Lord himself in the garden. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. That's not an easy thing to pray. Because if you're like most of us who are control mongers, we want to dictate how it's all supposed to play out. But it often isn't going to play out like that. Not my will, but your will. You must increase. I must decrease. God, with everything that is within me, I trust you not to get into these bubblegum discussions about God making a rock he cannot lift and all that kind of garbage. God, what I'm really concerned about is entering into these situations that to my own mind's eye and to my own feeling and my own heart, they lead me to fear and to be anxious and to be worried. But God, I trust you. That I know, God, you can do anything except fail and to go against your will and contrary to your word. But God, I also know that you're able to help me to overcome in such a way that I can do anything. That we can be overcomers and more than conquerors and somehow larger than life. That somehow a faith can arise. Let me tell you something. Pastor Richie Ware touched on this during the revival services we came through just before Easter. I believe this with all of my heart, that nigh unto the coming of the Lord, there is going to be such a restoration of the supernatural gifts in the church, leading into the actual parousia, the return of Christ, that we're going to begin to see stuff that we couldn't even dream or imagine before. And it isn't just going to happen. It isn't just going to happen. Just on some television long, long ways away. We're going to see it happen right before our very eyes. I don't know if I told you this. I think maybe I briefed you a bit, but I don't think I told you the whole situation. I got a text message from Wade Urban after they were here on Thursday night. And he said it wasn't just that the people who were in the prayer tunnel were praying over those, and they were even seeing the gifts in operation. He said even the people being prayed for were experiencing the gifts. He said, I've never seen that before. He said, I was sitting back and I was stunned. And I was amazed. Even this very day. We got some news today that was just unbelievably concerning. And as we were praying and we were talking and we were working through our own minds and souls about what was before us, that testimony that Nance shared with me and I shared with you. If God can put someone in a prayer line and make their hand like ice and make it like an ice pack to touch at a point of need and bring healing, our God somehow can work above and beyond in ways that maybe we don't even fully grasp. And can I tell you something? God wants to use you in those gifts. It isn't just for the preacher or the super saint. See, the cry of the Protestant Reformation was the priesthood of all believers. That men and women didn't have to go to a priest to gain access. But Christ, the mediator between God and men, one man, Christ Jesus, He being our mediator, that we ourselves have that individual access between us and God. So the gifts can flow through us, each of us, wherever we are, and whatever the situations are. So that truly through us, unbelievable things can happen. And where the gifts are most meaningful, forgive me, isn't just in here. But how about on the factory floor? How about in the aisles of Kroger? Oh, Kroger needs a revival. How about when you're at Lucas Oil Stadium watching the Colts whoop up on somebody? How about when you're just in the most unlikely of environments? All of a sudden you come up on a wreck. And all of a sudden, compassion comes out of you as you are able to assist, and God somehow uses you and gives you a word in season and somehow speaks to you to speak to someone else. And that takes a confidence, in spite of all this doubt that people try to plant in our hearts about God's power, you know, able to make a rocky kind of lift, and all this kind of stuff that people try to fill our minds to try to make it look like God isn't all-powerful, let alone do we have that kind of access, do we have that kind of power. Listen, I know the tendency for all of us is to say, who am I that God would use me? But can I tell you, God delights to use us. Wherever we are, wherever we live, with whomever we live, and whatever we may be doing, and however we may be frequenting, God wants to fill us with His Spirit and give us such a confidence that we can actually look into someone's eyes and they can see the sparkle in ours when we say, but I believe God can do. I believe God can. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible you have these two words, but God? But God, that's a message I'll preach sometime. But God, but God. See, we can talk and we can face and we can walk through these situations and these circumstances, and we can be told this by a professional. We can be told this by a doctor or by a psychiatrist or by some professional or by something we've read or something we've Googled. We solve the world's problems by Googling it, to try to access this or to try to access that. We can Google and dig deeper and deeper, whatever the case may be. Somehow, God wants to deposit in us such a sense of what is possible. What is possible to those of us who believe? And you don't have to have. As Jesus said, it takes how much? Just a mustard seed. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith in a great big God. And as you begin to utilize that faith, as you begin to share that faith, and you begin to implant that faith, and listen, people will listen to that and watch that, and they'll say, I don't even know how you're saying that. I don't even know how you can believe that. Because somehow you yourself have experienced that touch. And now you are sharing that. God can do anything. And God, by His power at work in you, you can do everything. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to become a Pavarotti or something. But what it does mean is that God is going to make you so capable in ways that you don't even see in yourself that it might take you by surprise. But because you're seeing it, you'll know it's God. And faith will grow. And you'll gain strength. And somehow, in those environments that are yours, and your families, and the people you work with, and the people with whom you carpool, and the people who see you, and the people who watch you, there's going to be something in all of that context that when those folks find themselves in trouble, they're going to know who to talk to. Because they're already going to see that. Let me tell you something. The Word still has to become flesh. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word still has to become flesh. Hear me. In us. That Word has to work in us. That doesn't mean that we're going to go through some heartache and some challenges. We all will. In fact, I was talking to somebody today, of all things. I just finished taking care of responsibility. The phone rang, and I was having a conversation with somebody here in the ministry. And we were sharing a situation, and it reminded me of a situation years and years and years ago. In the very first church that we served as senior pastors, there was a guy that had got saved, and he had been an absolute, I don't even know how to say it without sounding wrong. He was an absolute drunk. He was an alcoholic, and when he was drunk, he was abusive. Well, he was a brother of somebody we had worked with and knew really, really well, and he shared that story. And when that got saved, in an instant, his alcoholism left. And all of the alcoholism and all of the abusive anger, it evaporated the moment he gave his life to Christ. Just bam. Well, one day he came by the office. He said, I don't get it. I said, what don't you get? He said, I don't get it. He said, the moment I gave my life to Christ, he said, all the alcohol went away, all the abusive anger went away, but I can't quit smoking. He's like, God took that all away. Why can't He take the cigarettes away? And I said, so you could activate your faith. You see, sometimes God allows us to struggle in situations so our faith grows. You know what builds muscle? Resistance. You got to have resistance, right? Unless there's a resistance, unless there's some pushback. And you know what takes out wrinkles? Heat and pressure. And every once in a while in our lives, there are things that the King of the universe could just all of a sudden just go, gone. How many of you have ever said, well, come on, God, take care of this. I know you're capable of doing it. Why doesn't He? Because there's a part of this that as our faith is activated and it grows, that not only do we become stronger, we get so sold on the product that nobody can convince us any different. See, I don't have to get into an argument with an agnostic professor about whether there is or is not a God. It's way too late for me. How many for you? Way too late. We've had an encounter with God. We've had an experience with God. We've seen his miracles at work. We have seen signs and wonders and unexplainable things happen. No one's ever going to convince you or I that there is no God, let alone a God that cares about us, let alone a God who loves us, let alone a God who's willing to interdict into the middle of our situations to step right into our backyard. And all of a sudden just begin to work so that we can see it and we can observe it. And that gives us that kind of bedrock confidence. And listen to this. I don't like this, but I know this is true. That the longer you serve God, the harder the tests will be, but the greater the victories. The longer you serve Him, the harder the tests. You know why? Because your faith is growing, so what you used to battle through isn't any great big deal anymore. Now all of a sudden, you're ready for something a lot bigger. And a lot more challenging. And God's never going to give you more than you can bear. God's never going to put on you more than you can handle. But as you get stronger, you can handle more. And then God can partner with us in these things. And what you hadn't been able to see before, now all of a sudden, your eyes are open. And you're like, oh my God. And now I have a part in this. And all of a sudden, faith grows. And your heart is inflamed. And a confidence. I was sharing with this person I was talking to today. I said, I don't even know how God's going to do it. But I have no doubt He will. And that's where we got to get to. That when we're facing things that maybe we did not expect, that we can have such a calmness about us, that we can know God's going to do it. We don't know how He's going to do it. See, our responsibility is to pray. It's God's responsibility to do it in His own way, according to His will, however He wants to. And we got to have the willingness to hang on and not give up before the miracles happen. I can do everything. Father, thank You for Your love to us. Thank You for a love that makes us brave in the middle of situations and circumstances and even those things that may come our way, that want to somehow take away our impetus, our heart, our soul, our spirit. Lord, we thank You tonight that You are with us. Hallelujah. And Your power in us, at work in us, speaking to us and guiding us and directing us, O Lord, gives us that sense, Lord, that You've not left us out there on our own. Hallelujah. But You continue to grant us resources and continue to pour into our life a goodness and a grace that helps us to rise up, hallelujah, in spite of all those things that want to pull us down. God, we're able to rise up in the middle of all the hatred and all of the animosity and everything that wants to harass us and steal from us. We're able to arise, Lord, and have faith and confidence that overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, hallelujah. Father, I pray for every man, woman, and young person and child in this house. Lord, I pray tonight, whoever they are, whatever they got to go home to, Lord, whatever is going to face them this coming week, the rest of this week, and maybe things they brought with them tonight they've already been battling up to this present point. Father, thank You. Praise You, God, that Your power at work in us is greater than any power that is in the world. And thank You, God, that when we live according to Your will, that all things are possible. Hallelujah. Work in these families, work in these homes, work in these marriages, work in these bodies, work in these finances, work in these careers, work wherever these men and women may be living and whatever they have in front of them. And maybe there are things that right now would want to make them afraid. God, we thank Your love makes us brave to face these things. And we worship You. And we bless You, and we praise You, and we glorify You tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.